When you're hiring, posting your job on just one site isn't enough. So where do you go to find top talent? With ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to over 100 job sites with just one click. Let ZipRecruiter's powerful technology match your job to the right candidates and use their simple dashboard to find your perfect hire. In fact, over 80% of jobs on ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate in just 24 hours. Try it for free at ziprecruiter.com/audio. That's ziprecruiter.com/audio.
Justin Katz, who runs and writes the Ocean State Current, and he also works with the Rhode Island Center for Freedom and Prosperity. He does work with them as well. He is joining me this morning because a couple of days ago he put out an article, and I said, whoa, he got some numbers, and he just dug around himself. So good morning, Mr. Katz.
Morning, Tara. How you doing?
I'm good. I did a little bit of a long lead-in for you, so thanks for holding on.
Oh, that's fine.
Just walk us through your procedures, because you, in your article and in your story, mentioned, you know, you went through first and last name, even middle initial. You did some thorough digging around.
Right. Well, when I heard Representative Morgan on your show, it occurred to me that all of the payroll was put online on transparency.ri.gov through the state government. Mm-hmm. And so new hires should be on there. You have to do a little bit of spreadsheet work to figure out who left and who's new. So I just basically ran the numbers and using people's first name, last name, and middle initial to try to get as close as I could. I just compared who was new in a year versus the prior year and then who left that year. So I could have some sense of a rough number. I mean, what's amazing is that if Representative Morgan had gotten these numbers in January, which should have been within a week, she should have been able to get these numbers. She could have asked questions like how many employees are this there? Is this not just based on name, but based on a unique identifier, and how many were new hires or replacing old positions? If she had had months of lead time, these are the questions as a legislator she should have been able to ask. So I just wanted to throw out some kind of rough number of this is what it looks like to me, and see if that would, you know, spur some additional effort from the governor's office to get the data out there.
And you found with the way you handled your proceedings, roughly 450 jobs were created, or those are just plain out hires?
Well, there are 458 more hires than people who left.
Okay.
So on a net, that's how many. Now, I don't know how many, you know, what positions were created. The legislature has a lot of very low dollar ones, probably pages and that kind of thing. But those tend to come and go each year. So those are probably mostly a wash. But overall, there were 458 new people working for state government in the 2 years that the governor's budgets have covered. And that amounts to $30.6 million in additional payroll.
Wow, that's, you know, I said it yesterday, and just to hear it back from someone else, I quoted your article and your statistics and your breaking it down. It just seems a lot. Now, I'm hearing, and I don't know to what extent, I don't want to put you on the spot, but I'm hearing that the governor is asking for about another 100 new jobs in this budget. And yet, to the best of my knowledge, they won't even confirm what you have dug up.
Well,
did you have any communication with the governor's office, or you just did this on your own?
No. This is just publicly available information. Anybody could go on there and with a little bit of work on a spreadsheet figure out these numbers. So that was basically all I've done so far. I figured the representative ought to have more access than I would, you would think. But no, I haven't communicated with the governor's office on this.
Yeah, that's the word is that they've got about 100 new jobs in the budget from the governor's office. So I just feel that, and this is, I'm just talking out loud because this information is coming into me right now on my phone, but that is public information as well. It's just so, how would you describe navigating these transparency websites or the websites that we're supposed to be finding? I mean, I've tried, I don't know where that dashboard is as far as the Department of Human Services and UHIP, but their transparency portal is almost... It could be in Chinese, as far as I'm concerned. How are you finding some of these transparency, either websites or portals?
Well, it's the kind of thing where they either give you too little information or too much. They'll highlight things that they want people to see, and they'll put that out very easy to find. But if you want to dig into the data, you really get to the point of having to look line by line, employee by employee. Now, if I've been doing this for a while, so it's not that difficult for me. But I've always found that there's that missing step in the middle. The Center for Freedom and Prosperity tried to fill that a few years ago with riopengov.org, which has not been updated in a while. But it gave graphs and gave you some sense of averages. But that's what's missing in state government. So I find it's open. It's there if somebody knows how to use it. But it is kind of difficult for the average person to work through.
All right, I want to talk a little bit more about this, if Justin can hang on 1 second. Justin Katz from the Ocean State Kern and also does work, as he just mentioned, with Rhode Island Center for Freedom and Prosperity. Want to just come back. We'll talk a little bit more about maybe he found out which kind of jobs these are. This is very concerning to me. $30 million in new hires in 2 years. Will not give up the paperwork, will not show the documentation, the governor's office, to a lawmaker who's trying to put a budget together as we speak. I don't get it. We're going to talk a little bit more about it when we come back.
This is the Tara Granahan Show. News Talk 630 and 99.7 FM. WPRO.
This is such a non-issue. It's, like I said, this is a nothing burger.
This was the biggest nothing burger ever.
Boy, those words are going to haunt both of those two, Governor Raimondo and... Just yesterday, Hillary Clinton saying her email scandal was a nothing burger. Maybe there's a handbook on how to blow things off. All right, I want to bring back on Justin Katz from the Ocean State Current. He dug up some numbers, over 450 hires in the last 2 years, more hires than those who left under the Raimondo administration, to the tune of 30 million, 30.6. I did a little thing on my calculator here that comes out, Justin Katz, to about 68 grand per head. But I'm sure there's a lot of variety in there. The salaries. What do you make of the salaries when you look through the numbers? Is that about right?
Well, I guess it depends on what your measure is. The center's done research and finds that our public sector gets paid quite a premium for being public servants. So if you're saying quite right versus the free market, I'd say probably not. But so far, the only salary sizes that have really jumped out at me are. There have been six hires in the past 2 years for the Executive Office of Commerce, and this year two of them averaged $120,000. So that one jumped out at me. But it's hard to say. The state government's a big operation, so they do hire doctors for the hospitals and that sort of thing. So the numbers can seem high, but $67,000, $68,000 average is quite a bit of cash.
Yeah, I think when the average person hears that, and from what I understand now, the legislature is looking at potentially another 100 jobs coming from asking what the governor's asking for, if I can spit it out, and they're not going to do it. They're not going to have it. They're saying she's out of control, and maybe she'll get some employees, within the DMV, because as we all know, the lines are long, and they're going to come up with they're going to face some issues because of the rollout of another computer system. But to the best of your knowledge. To the best of my knowledge, I should say, I'm not going to put this on you, Justin Katz. Representative Morgan has been asking since January. Have you dealt with putting in those formal requests like Freedom of Information Act? Have you gotten into any of that?
I have, and it often depends what you're looking for. Some things they're very quick to respond. I find actually that for the most part they're pretty good about getting back to you at least and trying to figure out what you need. Mm-hmm. After a few rounds of asking questions and perhaps as cumulative, so maybe Representative Morgan's asked too many uncomfortable questions, so they're a little slower nowadays on with her. But they've been pretty good, but sometimes it can be a little bit difficult to hone in on a particular number, and you feel like there's a bit of dancing going on there.
Yeah. What are you how much have you done on the free college tuition, the Rhode Island Promise? I know you've written quite a bit.
Well, I've written about it and I've looked at it. One thing I want to raise, the center, we've put out reports periodically. One was called the Spotlight on Spending, which we were going through essentially saying, here's a bunch of, we came up with a quarter billion dollars worth of stuff the state could pretty easily cut back. We were trying to get the sales tax eliminated at the time.
Right.
But we've always put in payroll there. And when you start to add up the numbers, you're talking billions on payroll. And if you can find a 1% reduction, you pay for all these programs that are supposedly impossible to pay for. So that's one thing that comes to mind with the free tuition or with the car tax or what have you, is there's a lot of fluff in these budget numbers. But I as far as the I was actually listening while you had me on hold earlier, and the governor going off to New York to talk about free college, it really reinforces what I've sort of argued, is that her eyes seem to be national. And so it's really a more of a national pitch. I mean, she has gone to all the local high schools to pitch her policy to them, which every time she does that, I look up their proficiency scores. Mm. And I always find something a little bit off about the governor going to pitch free college to a senior class, 13% of whom are proficient in math. It doesn't seem like a very wise policy to me. If you look in Boston and Massachusetts, they've got something similar, but it's pretty clearly a sort of a welfare program to help low income families get through public college, and there are tiers where you have to go to community college first and finish your 2 years and do well on that, and then transfer in order to get the full 4 years for free. That kind of thing, whether you agree with it or not, is that at least has the look of a serious program, whereas mm-hmm. this is just, hey, free college because that's what we're all doing now.
Right. You know? And Justin, it's, one of our listeners sent me a study. I think it was credit.com and AOL.com, and Rhode Island is number 3, according to this study, where grads leave. So 69, almost 70% graduate and leave. And she's got nothing on the back end of this deal saying, you know, New York says you've got to stay for, I think, 2 years and work in the state. We're number 3 for them taking off, according to this study. And so that portion doesn't make sense either.
Right. Well, I mean, I don't know about New York's policy either. It seems a lot to ask a student entering college to know 2 to 4 years in advance where they're going to be working. It's the same thing I've always found when we hear about public school education being economic development. Well, to some degree, an educated population is critical, but it's kind of going backwards. If we're spending a lot of resources to educate students to a high degree and we don't have jobs for them, they'll just leave. They'll go where the jobs are. So we're paying to educate them for some other state. We should go the other way and create demand for our employees because we have a healthy economy, and then if students still can't get to the threshold of paying for college, I mean, the best thing to do is whatever your college payments are on your debt for each mm-hmm. year, add that up, and if you could get a job that gave you that much more, you've gotten your subsidy, and you do that by having a lot of demand for local employees. And so they're going at everything backwards, I think, in state government. And the reason is because that lets them control everything and lets them put forward these policies, whatever, you know. I know you've played our audio ads a lot about the, you know, hey, dude,
yes.
And sick time. And when you're doing all that, that allows the government to go out and give away stuff. And it gets the governor glowing profiles in a Chicago newspaper or a forum at the New York Times.
Yep,
it's not
national
really
magazines.
Nuts and bolts what we need to do.
Justin, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate you crunching the numbers. We're going to talk about it coming up after the break. I appreciate that. We're going to have you on again. He is Justin Katz from the Ocean State Current and also does a lot of the research for Rhode Island Center for Freedom and Prosperity.
Hi, I'm Mike from the Politics Guys. If you care about American politics, but you're turned off by all the yelling and screaming and sensationalism in the media, check out the Politics Guys podcast, where every Sunday, a liberal political scientist, that's me, joins a conservative attorney to go beyond the scandal of the moment and those stale partisan talking points to discuss what really matters. And every Wednesday, you'll find in-depth interviews with guests from across the political spectrum. You can find the Politics Guys on iTunes and other podcast apps or by going to our website, politicsguys.com.